Hello, everyone. This is George Watkins. Welcome to our Sunday Night Blessing Live. Glad you stopped by. Trust that what we say and do and our prayers together and some of the scriptural teachings that we dig into will be a blessing to you today. Stay tuned as we join the live broadcast, and then you're welcome to make a comment, send us a note, and just enjoy the time together. God bless. See you soon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday Night Live Blessing. This is something that we have started a few weeks ago, and on this Sunday night, we're going to enjoy a time together. Now, you can send us a comment or even a question if you'd like to, but we're going to enter into a dialogue and some involvement in some teaching or some explanation about the life of the Spirit, how we walk in the Spirit. And tonight, I have a very special guest, my dear friend, Kurt Crook, pastor from Roseburg, Oregon. And I asked him to come and spend the evening with us. I introduced him on our pre-advertisement as a heavy hitter. And I just love this guy, and we have so many good times together. So I'm going to bring him on, and we're going to get right into our time together tonight. There you are, Kurt.
Hey.
Welcome to our Sunday Night Live. And yeah, I'm so glad that you were able to slice some time and give us some input tonight. We've already had about 30 minutes of prep work, you and I talking about the things of the Lord. And so what we're going to do is kind of get into some thoughts on that. I wanted to first of all say of our longtime friendship, and you know, those contacts that you make as you move along in the journey of working, walking with the Lord, they are so precious. And I just wanted to say that so we have a witness how much I appreciate you. And every time I go south, if I don't get to see Kurt, spend some time with him, I've missed my journey. So thank you for coming.
Sure. And,
what I want to do is kind of give you the steering wheel here in a minute, but give us kind of introduction to how God brought you. I know you've had a long history of pastoring, and you've been saved, you know, forever.
Yeah.
But give us kind of a history, because we're going to get into the supernatural here and talk about angelic stuff. I wanted to say that angels, you can talk about angels almost anywhere but the church.
Right.
Something's wrong with that.
Yeah.
And I believe we're in a new season where the church must come up to speed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When working with the angels. So kind of give us an introduction of what God's doing and what God got you into this with.
Well, I've been moving in the supernatural since 2006, and I did not know that much of what the phenomena that was happening to me, in me, and through me, and around me, both here in my church. I started my church in 1984 and pastored it 26 and a half years, and here in Roseburg. And but I've been to different nations of the world, different you know, states and cities, Canada and such, and ministering. And in all of that, in 2006, there was a marked shift. And I remember I came home on a Wednesday evening, and we were, Randy Rutledge was my best friend, and he was coaching the Christian school senior high school girls basketball, and it was just before if they win they go to state. And so I went, he did the coaching, I did the watching and the yelling and getting hoarse. And when I came home, it was about 10 o'clock, and my wife was in her pajamas sitting in a chair, and she was watching CSI Las Vegas, where they show how the bullet enters the body and goes through, and what it's just pretty gross. It's not super, you know, it's not spiritual at all. And she's sitting there and she's painting her nails, and she said, "How is the game?" And I said, "Oh, the game is great, you know." So she said, "Oh, come over here and look at me." I said, "What?" She said, "Come look at me." And it looked like you took her entire body and put it in a car paint booth and sprayed gold. Years ago, I watched the old movie with James Bond, the first guy, and the Goldfinger, and the woman was painted gold. My wife was painted gold. Inside her ears, bottom of her feet, between her toes, everything was gold. I said, "Honey, what did you do?" It was gaudy. I said, "Why did you do that?" She goes, I didn't do that. I said, "What did you do?" She goes, "I got out of the shower, dried off, and looked in the mirror, and there it is. And when I wash it off, it comes back." I said, "What?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what are you? Who's doing that?" She goes, "I think it's God." I said, "What do you feel?" She goes, "I don't feel anything, but I think it's God." So I went and I got a cup of coffee, and I sat in the kitchen and I stared at her while she was watching CSI, finishing it up. And all of a sudden, she had on baby powder blue pajamas with little teddy bears on them, pants and a top. And that thing got covered in gold sparkles. And I watched the sparkles come. Then it went on her skin. We had it rain gold dust and ruby dust, and we had diamond dust, and it was nuts for the whole year of 2006. And the angels brought that. I didn't know that. But every time it would come, we had creative miracles in our services, and it would rain in the building about 3 feet from the center top of the building. Then this stuff would come. I've had 250 pastors come watch it in that year of 2006. Well, that was the beginning, and I'm thick-headed. And then in 2012, my friend Randy Rutledge invited me to go with him to a 3-day weekend at his friend's church. His friend was is the overseer of the California district for Word of Faith Ministries, Kenneth Hagin. And he had started a church, and they were purchasing the chapel at an Air Force base out east of Sacramento, the East Army base. And it was a nice church. And so this was going to be his grand opening, and Randy and I were going to pop it open for him. So he wanted Randy to come and do healing. And he said, you know, "And if you can do this and this and this and angelic and stuff," then, and Randy goes, "I don't do angelic, but my friend does. He walks in a different kind of supernatural, you know. So I won't come with unless I can bring him." And he said, "Okay, but I'm not going to pay him." He said, "Fine, I'll pay him." So anyway, we went. And on the way down, we had just come from Roseburg down through south of Reading. And all of a sudden, I'm driving, and I'm looking for deer, and it's starting to get dark. And I'm all tense, and Randy says, "Don't go under 80 miles an hour." I said, "Well, I don't want to get a ticket." He goes, "You won't. Mike, this is my car. I never get a ticket." So anyway, he's studying his notes, looking down, and all of a sudden Randy goes, "Will you quit touching my arm? I'm trying to study." And I said, "Randy, I'm not touching your arm. I have both hands on the wheel." Well, he didn't look. He's still looking at his notes. About 10 minutes later, he goes, "Crook, will you stop touching my arm?" And then he turned. He was really irritated, and he looked. My hands were on the steering wheel, and he went white. Then he goes, "Crook, somebody's patting my head like you'd pat a dog, a pet. They're petting me on the head." I said, "What?" And I turned, and Randy has dark brown hair. It's not so dark anymore, but then it was. But he was born with a birthmark right in the back of his head, and it's totally white. It has no color. And that white hair was pulled straight out from his head like a Chatty Cathy, you know, pulled the string on the doll and she talks. Freaked me out. Now we're both white. And I go, Randy, somebody's pulling your hair straight out, your white hair." He goes, "I know, Crook, who's doing it?" And I looked in the mirror, and there's two angels in the back seat grinning. Well, that was the beginning of seeing of angels and ministering and interacting and all of that, learning from them. You know, Isaiah 25 talks about the spirits that would be with Jesus. And it's not his spirit. It is ministering spirit. It's angels. And many times it's said that after he went through a time or a season of proving and testing and faith being challenged, it says angels came and ministered to him. And it already tells who those angels are in Isaiah 25. And then Paul, in his epistles, he prays that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God the Father would be given to you. That these angels of wisdom and knowledge, in the knowledge of the Father's what the Father shares with them. And you have to understand that when angels come and impart something to you, they don't talk with their mouth. It's telepathic. And when you ask a question, you ask a question. And you could be in a crowd and ask the angel a question that you're looking at, and he's giving you this download. And it's supernatural. It's bizarre. And you have to understand that they don't initiate anything of their own accord. They are sent to be ministers to and for us and with us for the kingdom. But when they come, they've been sent to the Father, and they come not only with his words in their heart that they exhale to us, but the very breath of God is on the instructions. And if you ever want to know what the breath of Father God is like, smell a new baby. They're fresh from God. And he says, every child given to this world, I knew them before they were born. I planned every day of their life. I fashioned their day. I put my hands on it. And I fashioned their heart to match those moments in their day that would capture them and get them to understand who I created them to be. And you come fully loaded, batteries included, from God. You know, and then he has a book, Papa's book on every day of your life, and he gives it to one of your angels. And he reads that to you every night, according to Job 33. So that's another story for another day. But when we went down to this church, the angels put tunics on me and Randy. I don't know how that happened, but I looked over at Randy. And he had a tunic. He was in a full tunic. He was in jeans and a t-shirt with three stripes on it. Now he's in a tunic. And this hooded tunic, the hood is farther out of his peripheral. And I could just see his nose sticking out. I said, oh my God, Randy, you have a tunic. And I said, do I have one? And he turned, he goes, Crook, you got a tunic. And the angels gave us these tunics. And they were wearing the same kind. So it was like a mantling. An angelic mantling came on our life. And from that day to this, it's just like seeing people, you know, they're just there. So, and same with Randy. So when we went to this church, this was bizarre. We went to the church, and the first night, Randy says, if anybody needs healing, I'm going to pray for you. And if you want to know anything about your life from when you were born to right now, he said, line up, Crook will tell you. He's the most prophetic guy I know. So if you need a word or you want an explanation or you want confirmation, just line up. So I had about 30 people line up for me, and he had about 100 on his. And I was tired and all tightened up from driving 80 miles an hour and breaking the law trying to get there. So, the second guy I prayed for was a very wide-bodied, deep-chested, barrel-chested young man, probably 35 to 38 years of age. He looked Polynesian to me. He had that islander skin and beautiful skin and wavy dark hair. He was about 5'10", my height, but he was way wide and big, and his hands were calloused and just massive. And so I stepped up, and when I stepped up, I closed my eyes, and the angel who came to me in the car started speaking to me telepathically, and I recognized his voice. I've always heard the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit up to this point. Now I got this other voice coming on, and I know who it is because he was in the car for an hour with us or two. So he said, when you open your eyes, I always close my eyes and go in to get a word instead of be distracted. So I stood in front of him. I said, I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to hear what the Lord has to say. This angel said, when you open your eyes, you're going to see two men standing behind him. And The one on the right is going to have his right hand on his right shoulder behind him, and the one on the left behind him is going to have his left hand on his left shoulder. And when you open your eyes, I'm going to tell you who they are and what you say to this young man. So I open my eyes, and here are these two older gentlemen. They look like they're islanders, Polynesian to me. That's all I could think at the moment. One was all white-haired. The other one was going gray. They were more slender than him, about the same height. They had exotic flowers and leaves woven in a wreath or a crown on their head. Each one had a different leaf and different flowers, which will make sense here in a minute to you. And he said, these men are alive, and this one is his father, and that's his grandfather. And they are leaders in their nation. They are political leaders in their nation. And all that you see and sense and read out of them that I'm revealing to you is in this young man. Well, he didn't look like them. He didn't look like a statesman. He looked like a concrete worker, which is exactly what he was in the States. So I said to this young man, I said, hey, I said, I see two guys behind you. And I said, this is what they look like. And I said, and they're not dead, they're alive. And they have authority in their nation. They have a voice in their nation. And so he says, stop talking. Just like that. The man said, real gruffly, stop talking. I said, but do you want to hear? He said, don't say another word. I said, oh, okay. So, and then he just walked away. And I thought, oh man, well that, I was tired, rattled. I thought, I can't go on. So I told the next people, I just said, you know, I'll get you tomorrow. We have three more services, morning, afternoon, and night, Saturday, Sunday. So, but I'm really tired. Well, I got there in the morning because we're going to go on treasure hunts, go out and prophesy over people and heal them on the streets and stuff like that. And we were going to take this pastor's congregation and leaders out and teach them how to move in the supernatural outside of a song service and pumping everybody and getting just the atmosphere just right. But just go cold turkey and just step into it. So I get there, and in the morning they had a breakfast, and this guy's there, the guy I said that to, the Polynesian guy. And he goes, Pastor Curdy said, I'd like to talk to you in the pastor's office. And I said, uh-oh. I was thinking, oh, what did I do? And he said, I have the pastor's key to his office. And I said, oh, boy. I said, do you want the pastor to come in? Do you want Randy to hear this? Because if I've offended you or did something wrong, I want to be accountable to what I said. Nope, just you and me. So we opened the door, went in. He turned the chairs around in front of pastor's desk facing each other, and he locked the door. Then he told me, he said, that was my father and grandfather. And he said, they were both chiefs in our nation. I said, chiefs in your nation? I'm thinking, what nation has chiefs? And he said, have you ever heard of Samoa? There's U.S. Samoa and there's Free Samoa. And he said, Free Samoa is divided by two different tribes. And he said, my wife's grandfather was a chief on this side of the island, and my father and grandfather were chiefs on this side of the island, and together the chiefs on both sides and the leaders make up the parliament. We have a parliament system, and we have a what did I tell you earlier, who is the guy that runs the, like in England, it's not a king or queen, but it's the prime minister. And he said, both of these, my father and my grandfather were prime ministers. I said, oh man. So anyway, we Skyped. He got my email. He said, I want you to speak to the, because nobody knows who I am here in this church. Nobody but my wife and the pastor. And my wife is the pastor's secretary. I said, get out. He goes, yeah. And she's going to be on your team today to go out on the streets. And I said, oh, okay. So anyway, I got to meet his son, and she asked if the pastor said, would you prophesy and stuff and, you know, activate our people that are afraid to go out on the street and do signs and wonders. So we prayed for bravery and stuff. And when I touched this man's son, who I really didn't know that was his son at the time, he was just, I had 13 people with me and he was just one of them. So, and he didn't look like him. And, but anyway, so when I touched him, I saw politics, and I saw national leadership in this young man. And so I went to his mom and I said, hey, this is what I see. What do you think? She goes, that's correct. You're absolutely right. You ministered to my husband last night. This morning he talked to you. And I go, that's your husband? And she goes, yeah. And I'm the pastor's secretary. I went, oh. So later that day, the man and his wife, the secretary of the church, sat me down and said, our nation has purchased, along with other nations, island nations, and Samoa is off the southeastern tip of Australia, and there's lots of islands and nations, and they have a coalition, and all those nations got together and bought some property right on the beach, the eastern seaboard of Australia, and they have a college, an institute, a five-year training school for children who are children of prime ministers, who will then become prime ministers or have that opportunity to be voted and be in the parliament. So his son, he said, when we go back, you are absolutely correct in what you prophesied. He's going, he's been accepted, and he'll spend the next 5 years of his life till he's 20, and then he'll come back home and be a part of the parliament. Anyway, so that's how that all started. And that was in February. And the next week, my spiritual son, Rick Fair, who pastors Living Waters Christian Fellowship since 2010, he invited me and Randy and a team and our interns to come and do the same thing at his church. And oh my gosh, it was nuts. So now we're more familiar with the angels, how they work, how they operate, how they want to communicate with us. How they want us to release them and let them do their thing. And our hands aren't with them. My body's not with them. And so we said, yeah. And so they were going into houses throughout Sparks and Reno. Our angels were taking a team of angels and visibly appearing to people. This happened. We have testimony. It's on film. Went to a 70-year-old white woman. She is a cracker white, if I could say that. White lady. On the block and three houses down on the other side is this other African-American older lady, and she's taking care of her two granddaughters, a 15-year-old Lexi and a 12-year-old Alicia. And their parents, mom and dad, which is this grandma's son and daughter-in-law, have a life sentence for murder. And so grandma is watching these two girls. These two girls are playing video games on grandma's TV. Grandma's in the other room doing something. The angel who was in the back seat of my car appears to these two girls. This is their testimony. The whole room disappeared. An angel stood there, a man with a tunic that looked just like the one he put on me. Hello. And very plain, nothing glorious, nothing splendor, just heavy woven, nothing pretty, nothing. It just, these girls explained, and he said, I want you to go to the little white lady over there, three houses up on the right side, and my other friend is talking to her, which was Randy's angel, and inviting her to church. None of these people had ever been to church in their life. The 79-year-old lady, white, and these 15 and 12-year-old girls, whose parents have a life sentence. They haven't even talked to the white lady. The white lady has never walked down the street and talked to the grandma, let alone these two girls. But Randy's angels in that house telling the woman, go down and invite these girls to come to church on a Thursday night. Who has church on a Thursday night in Sparks, Reno, Nevada? My son. And where are they going to be there? So the white lady comes down, knocks on the door. The girls playing video game. They never told mom. They went into this thing, and that angel said, go to church. And you can go with the white lady up there because she's going to go to church. Now, that's what he said. And so, but then Randy's angel said, go down and invite them. But my angel said, she's going, and she knows where they're going, what building, what seat, what time, what everything. And she'd never been to church either. And then they said, this guy said, this angel, he said, and when you get there, you'll see me and you'll know that God is real. And this was real. This really happened to you. I was here. Then he said, he told them, they said, he was like Italian, and he said ciao, like bye, ciao. He said ciao. He moved his hand, and they were back with the video things in their hands. The TV was there, the room was there. He was gone, and they went, "What just happened?" So that was Thursday afternoon. 2 hours before service, the white lady comes down, ding dong. Girls are still playing video games. Grandma comes to the door. She goes, "Hello." They'd never met. She said, "Well, I just live over there," but she said, I just really feel like I'm supposed to invite your granddaughters. You know I have two granddaughters?" She goes, "Yeah." Well, she didn't know, but she had a word of knowledge. And she invited them. They came. They saw the angel. These girls are sitting there. We're just starting our first worship song. And Lexi, the 15-year-old, has a meltdown, a hoedown, a breakdown on clean up on aisle 5, you know, chair 4. She's going blitz. The little one is she's falling out in the spirit between steel chairs and bumped a bunch of them away. Then I said, "Something's going on. What's going on?" And other people said, "There's an angel here." And other people across the room said, "I see an angel here." So the girls came in, gave their testimony, and the white lady didn't know they saw an angel. She saw an angel. She's telling about it. They all accepted Christ right there before we even got started. Boom. Lexi, the African-American girl whose parents have a life sentence, she's 15. My intern, Sarah, when it was time for ministry, this is angelic ministry now. This is angelic ministry. This is way beyond anything our eyes have seen before. So, and we had 6 services of this stuff. Sarah is 18. Sarah prays for Lexi, and she says, "Is there anything I can pray with you about?" She goes, "Yeah." She said, "My dad was stoned on acid when I was 2 years of age, and he dropped me on a hardwood floor and broke something in her." And she said, "The right side of my entire growth plate in my body has never developed." She goes, "Look, I have a size 8 shoe and a 4.5 shoe." And she says, "I never have both hands out of my pocket at one time, because when I do, I have a 6-inch hand and a 4.5-inch hand." Mm-hmm. So then she got my other interns together. They put her barefooted with her feet together with the heels against the wall in the sanctuary while the band's playing. And this angel shows up, and Sarah sees this angel. Now the kids are having their angels manifest to them. And the angel says, "Go get a pencil and put it on the along the toes of her 6-inch foot, and the other one's 4.5 inches shorter." And he said, "I'm going to touch her, and you just say, 'Grow out.'" The angel touched her on her head, and her hand grew out. Her arm filled up, the width of her hand. Her foot grew out. We have it on video. 4.5 inches. And we had a man. I will just stop there. Any questions? That was the beginning. And it's just 2016 was off the charts in Nicaragua, and we have some pictures there. And then in Chile in 2018 in Los Andes, Chile, I had a cherub go with me and his team of angels. And it was way beyond the church, way beyond the church property. What should have been a half hour testimony and prayer on a Friday night in Chile turned out to be 4:30 in the morning. Went till 4:30 in the morning. And then in Rick's church on that February night, on Saturday night, we had over 1,500 people come to his church, and he only had 115 in his church. And we had 1,500 people come to that church from 7 at night to 4:30 in the morning. And it was all angelic ministry. Creative miracles, screws coming out of people's bodies and falling on the floor. We had metal plates, titanium plates and stuff. You know, can't turn my head, and all of a sudden you can feel the plate and the screw. They just dissolved. It was just, so we had a lot of, we had blindness. It was beyond. But again, angels were drawing them in. We didn't go out. We had no time to publicate anything. Rick, it was angels. So when you can partner with angels, they can go beyond what COVID says you can only do. You know, mask up and 6 foot distance and only 25 people in a room that'll seat 100. And if we could partner with this, if we could tap into this for 2021 and 22 and 23, there's a harvest waiting us for us, not only of souls coming into the kingdom, but of glory coming on the church and on the non-believer. So God wants to visit them just as dramatically as he wants to visit the apostles, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and the saints of God. And he proved that.
One thing that you've done is bring this to the quote unquote common congregation, the leader. And going and treasure hunting, you and Randy have done that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because you're teaching the church how to move in this area.
Yeah.
There's something you told me a couple years ago now.
Yeah.
You said you've prayed for more animals than you have people. It might have been a slight exaggeration, but
it might be a slight. But I prayed for as many animals, not as many people, but I've prayed for hundreds of animals. I'll tell you a story. This happened. This was in 2015. We have a rod and gun club. That means a fishing rod and pistols, shotguns, hunting rifles, pistols, blinking pistols. You can hunt with pistols. We have a gun club. I'm not a member, but my friend is. And so he said, hey, let's go sight in our hunting bows. This is July. 2015. Okay. And I just got a new bow and I wanted to sight it in up to 100 yards. You know, you can do that. So, okay. So we're there and I said, well, where'd the picnic table go? We can't set our bow down and adjust things and put new things on it. Or, you know, I said, what? And all of a sudden here comes a little John Deere tractor with a strap on it and the picnic table freshly painted. And the groundskeeper's driving out there and it's hot. It's 83 degrees. And we're under maple trees, but it's 83 degrees. And that table's dry. And I said, well, here, we'll unstrap it. We'll move it around. We know where it goes. And you don't have to do it. He's an older guy. And he goes, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he had on a Pendleton hunting long sleeve wool shirt in 83 degree weather. And he had leather. Where's my hand at? He had leather welder's gloves to the elbow. Heavy, thick, gauntlet welder's gloves. So, you know, they wear that when the slag and stuff comes off. I said, my God, man. I said, what are those gloves for? And he started crying and he goes, oh, Pastor Kurt, I know who you are. He goes, I was trying to get enough courage to ask you if you'd pray for my hands. He said, I'll show you. And he starts pulling off his gloves. And his hands, every part of his hand, where there's a crack and a crease, every one of those cracks and creases are open about 3/8 of an inch deep. And there is yellowy and purpley goo coming out. I said, what is that? And he goes, they don't know. He said, I was up at OHSU a week ago. And they said to take these pills and put this salve on it and don't let the sun get on it and keep, you know, put sterile gloves on. These are new gloves. I said, yeah. And he said, but I have to work. I can't retire. And I said, well, do they know what it is? He said, no, they have it under observation and they've sent it to two different labs. I said, does it hurt? And he goes, oh yeah, it's terrible. I said, well, come here, come out here in the sunlight. Let me pray for you. So he put his hands out. My friend goes, oh my God, you're not going to touch his hands, are you? I said, I've touched leprosy and everything else. So I put my hands under his hands and I said, he closed his eyes and he had a baseball cap on and he took it off like he's, you know, oh, say, can you see? I said, no, keep your eyes open. We watch and pray. Watch what the Lord does, you know. So he's looking at his hands and those hands right before our eyes in about 8 seconds sealed up. And then his hands got covered in gold dust. And he went, oh, and he fell out on the grass under the power of the Spirit. And Ernie goes, oh, gosh, what have you done? You know, I said, well, I said, let's get him up. Well, he was drunk. He was drunk. And he goes, can you take me to my trailer? He said, I need you to pray for my wife. I said, what's wrong with your wife? Well, I have to take her into the surgeon. He's going to do double carpal tunnel surgery at 1 o'clock, and it's already 12:30. I said, oh, well, yeah, I'll pray for her if she wants prayer. If she doesn't, I'm not going to, you know. And sometimes when they see these things, it scares them. So, you know, please. So I went in and he goes, honey, have him pray for you. Look at my hands. And he's dancing around like a drunk man and falls on the couch. Well, she's a Christian, but she's not that kind of Christian. So I said, what's your name? She said, Shirley. And his name's Bert. She said, well, yeah, I'll let you pray. And I said, well, look, I'm going to have Ernie, you know, Ernie's known you for 20 years. Yeah. He's going to stand in front of you and you just look at him, look right at his eyes. Just look at him. And I'm going to touch your shoulders. And I said, you have bone spurs, don't you? Yeah, I can't. I have to wear button shirts. I can't pull anything up because I have bone spurs. And I said, we're going to dissolve those bone spurs first. And my angel was there. And he said, I just did that to her husband. I'm going to dissolve these bone spurs. I said, okay. So he told me, you put your hands on there and I'll dissolve them. So I said, I'm just going to put my hands on your shoulders lightly. And you just start raising your hands till it hurts. When it hurts, you just stop. Don't push through it. Okay. She goes, but I can't raise them very far because, you know, it hurts so bad. And she went, oh, my God. And she fell over on her carpet. Well, and she got up and I said, let me pray for your hands. Her hands were snow white. There's no blood flow. It's just pinched them. So I touched her hands. They went pink, then they went ruby red, then they went deep bruised purple, and they went back to pink. And so she never had her surgeries that day, and she was healed. Well, I went back a week later to just check in on them, and she goes, do you know our little dog that we bought? He's only eight months old. I said, yeah, he was a little Scotty dog. He's just a cute little thing, and they call him Pepper. So talking about animals. And she goes, well, Pepper, I was planting flowers around the front of the trailer on the deck, and he saw a gray squirrel come down a tree, and he jumped off the deck and lit right on a boulder, and it broke his back, snapped it right in half. And she goes, oh, God, he it's terrible. He just screamed and screamed and screamed. We took him to Dr. Bailey, and Bailey did an x-ray, and he goes, oh, it's really broken bad, and the vertebrae are shattered. And he said, you know, we don't do those surgeries. You have to go to an actual human doctor, a bone doctor, or whatever they call them. So they took the dog to the, and he wanted like, I don't know, $8,000 to do a surgery, just like for a human. And she goes, we don't have that kind of money. And I said, well, what'd you do with the dog? Put it to sleep? No, he's in the back and he's in a little bed. And we have just a linoleum floor in our single wide trailer here. She goes, I grabbed the bed and just pull him around in it. I hate to put him down. He's a cute little thing. So they brought him out and he can sit, but he can't stand. So he's sitting and he's in his little bed and they cut their tail, you know, just little waggly tail. He's going like that. So I said, well, I'm going to put my hand over his head and you just watch. I'm going to ask the glory of the Lord to come touch your dog. What? I said, just watch. And the little dog's sitting there and pretty soon she goes, did you kill him? I said, no, he's fine. Just a minute. And I said, here, Pepper. And he sat up and his little tail's going like that. I said, he needs another dose. And I said, come Holy Spirit, heal this dog. And that angel touched him and out he went again. And then Bert, it was Bert's dog. And I said, Bert, call your dog. Oh God, no, I can't. Cause if he tries to jump in my lap up in my lounge chair, he'll just scream. I said, no, call your dog. Here, Pepper. And the dog jumped onto the chair and up on his chest and licked his face. So we have, I mean, God loves what you love and he cares about what you care about.
Yeah.
And they're going to be in heaven too. I can tell you that. That's another story for another day. But yeah, all dogs go to heaven. All pets go to heaven. Yeah. They have a soul and they're there.
I know you've got a lot of those stories, but you told me one about a woman that's coming into the store with her dog. Oh, yeah. And you have connection, you know, you have a store connection. Yeah. You're there all the time.
Yeah. Lowe's and Home Depot. That's great. They always can take their pets in there. And it was, I prayed, I don't know which one it was, but I prayed for lots of dogs, but they start going down in the hips like Shepherds and Labradors, you know, before their time, their hips start going down. And this dog was, he was down and he wasn't wanting to get up. And I said, oh, you know, is this your dog? And sorry about that. That's a Harley Davidson around here. If you heard that. But anyway, so I prayed for the dog and God healed the dog. So, but our students did that a lot.
There was a snapshot. I think you might have been in Sparks or one of those revivals when you had a special angel show up and spend some time with you.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that was the first one I met my cherub. He's a four-winged giant. He's, you know, angels are human size, you know, maybe 6'4", 6'5", 5'5". But when this guy showed up, he showed up invisible to us in 2012 at that, those four service, actually it was six service. And Randy ran into him. Randy was stepped away from the pulpit. He was teaching in Rick's church, and he was going to go talk to a person. He likes to go up and touch people, you know, like shake their hand or touch them on the shoulder and talk to them a little bit real close. And he was focused. He was walking. I'm filming. I have all this on film. And he walked right into this cherub, and Randy hit it and bounced back, staggered back, grabbed the pulpit, fell over the pulpit, broken five places, shattered. I thought Randy broke something. It was bad. And he just looked on the ground like a little pup. Like, he looked right in my eyes. He's going like, his eyes are saying, what happened, Kurt? Come help me, Kurt. And when you touch this cherub or he touches you, if you touch him or he touches you, you are gone. You're down for the count. And you get a 10 count. And then they just drag you off and you're in heavenly places. You're just gone. You're no pain, no gain. It's wow. So he showed up, and then I was supposed to do Sunday morning. Well, that was Saturday night, and it was supposed to go from 7 to 9, and we had headliners from the nightclubs coming over, hearing what God was doing supernaturally. We had six headliners come over and get prayer in limousines from the casinos, and they were miraculously. I don't know where these people came from. They just came from all over the city. We had prostitutes come. It was like, this was crazy. And the angels were drawing them. I said, who told you? Well, we just heard, but who told you? Well, I don't know, but we had to come. So we got home at 4:30 in the morning, and I have to preach at 10. And I don't know what I'm going to do. So this cherub appeared in my room, and I won't say all the things he did, but he revealed himself to me. And when he sat on my bed, it was a mattress on box springs, you know, the old springs. It was just a twin bed. It was a 110-year-old building. It was called Glory Temple. It had been added on to old Pentecostal church, 110 years old. They called it the Glory Barn. Well, they had so many additions that it gave me and Randy this room. And he got a nice queen bed, and I got this little twin bed on springy mattresses, which that's what I sleep on when I go to Central America. It didn't bother me, and I'm in that bed. Well, that angel materializes. First, he announces his presence. The whole room, every molecule, every centimeter in that room is roses. It is the most beautiful, heavenly, divine, supernatural rose smell. And when you smell it, you lose all your senses. You are euphoric. You are tranquil. You are happy. You don't know if you're in bed or out of bed. You don't know if you're floating or standing. You don't know, and you don't care. And the whole room went like that. And so I said, I said, I know who you are. And if you keep this up, I've got to get some sleep. It's 5:30 in the morning. And I have to preach at 10. I don't know what I'm going to share. And he goes, well, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you the ways of God. He was one of those that Paul prayed, the spirit of wisdom, the angel of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of the Father. what the Father knows that you don't know till you get it. So the cherub carries a heavier anointing, more knowledge, more than just the angelic realm. And they are the apothecaries of anointings. They can turn on anointings, create anointings in a nanosecond, release anointings, put anointing on you, oil for a week, and you can wash it, and it won't come off. It won't stop bubbling up. It won't stop flowing. It won't stop smelling. And it can change different fragrances. And that's what they do. And so he appeared, he became solid, and then he sat on my bed. When he sat on my bed, I'm laying down on my back. He lays, and I'm kind of, my legs are just kind of bent a little bit, you know, I don't know, kind of bent a little on my back, just kind of up, kind of, and he sat. When he sat down, that bed came up, and I thought I was going to be drilled on at a dentist. It just went, and then he put this right hand over my chest and pushed on the mattress because it was twisted. When he sat, it sprang up, and the mattress is up and twisted. It's not flat. So then he put his arm here and made it flat. And his face was probably as far away as this screen is from my face. And his head was as big as a pumpkin. This man, this being, had four wings. He's probably 12 foot tall, 4 feet in the shoulders, and then the wings out beyond that, folded. And he was all silver. His eyes were silver. His lips were silver. His skin was silver. His teeth were silver. He had a humanoid body, but everything was silvery blue and sparkling, just like flashing diamonds. Every part of him. Up his nostril. I mean, I looked at him and he studied me. He just smiled at me. He saw right through me. And it was like, now I see what the Father sees in you. Now I see how he's so captivated by you. I see what captivates him about you. I see what he's proud of, his creation that he made. You are wonderful. I didn't want to look at him anymore because he was, all of his thoughts were coming into me. All of his evaluations, without saying anything or moving his mouth, I was hearing his thoughts. Oh, now I know. Oh, that's why he. This is what he said. He called your name before we ever saw you in human form. We knew you. And I asked him if I could be a charge to you. A charge to you. When you come. He said he spoke your name in the time of Adam, in the time of David. We knew about you. We knew about everybody. But it wasn't your time to come out of the Father. See, we live and move and have our being in him, and being born again is just coming home. Genesis 2, he said, all the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth were created on that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's everybody. From now till it wraps up, we were created, soul and spirit, and we existed in personality and intellect and consciousness, but not human form. We came through our mom because mom and daddies can make fetuses, but we can't make soul and spirit. And then he exhales us into that little fetus and we become a human being. Now we're a spirit having human experiences, not a human having spiritual experiences. We are spirit. We are soul. And our body is not, our soul and spirit is not contained in our body. Our body is housed inside of our spirit. My spirit is about 10 inches outside my body. And when I go to touch somebody, the spirit gets to them before I do. And the more glory that's on you, the greater energy in a mat. It's just, it's crazy. So that's why some people can be so, it's not an anointing. It's them. It's them. They've discovered the undiscovered country, which is them. Anyway, any questions? Am I off track here?
No, you're right on track. Give us maybe a little snapshot of one of those illustrations.
Yeah. So in 2016, where are we? Whoop, there we are. 2016, I took a team of adults out of Garden Valley Christian Assembly Church. They had never been to Nicaragua. When I pastored my church in Rosebud 26 and a half years, we made 25 trips down there, established hospitals, clinics, all kinds of stuff, as well as churches. We had three churches. Now we have 13, and we have 24,000 members in our churches down there. This is a little mama. This is Yipsa, the little bald-headed little girl. We were down in Bluefields, Nicaragua, a team of eight adults for 7 days in, actually 5 days in Bluefields, which is on the Caribbean coast. And we ministered to about 1,000 people out there. Angels were all over. It was nuts. It was glorious. Those are lots of stories. On our last day, and we're catching a flight to go into Managua with a bush pilot, this little girl's mama came to me and said, "Pastor Kurt, did you hear about Yipsa, your little girl Yipsa? I helped birth Yipsa. I was there at her birth. I got to cut the cord." And she is, I don't know, she's probably 24 or 5 in that picture. And she has a little, she had a little 2-year-old boy. She also had a 30-pound cancer tumor in her stomach that it invaded 3 layers of linings of your stomach. And so I said, "No, I haven't seen Yipsa. Where is she?" "Well, she's in Managua. She's in a dying house. She has 2 weeks to live." "What?" "Yeah, she has a 30-pound tumor. She weighs 68 pounds. And 30 pounds of that is a tumor. No, 86 pounds, and 30 pounds of that is a tumor." I said, "Well, give me the address and we'll go there." I was exhausted. My whole team was wiped out. We ministered around the clock. So me and my sister and one other person of the eight, we went to the dying house, and there she was. And that was me. And she could hardly talk. She just whispered. She hadn't eaten in a week because everything she ate went straight through her diarrhea. And the doctor said if she could just gain 20 or 30 pounds, we might be able to do a surgery, but she'd never survive. She's so frail and weak. She has nothing to run on to recover from with. So I prayed every little prayer I knew. I asked my angels to touch her now and while I'm gone and to stay with her. I said, "I'm going home. One of you guys stay here." I dipped a little sponge on a stick in her mouth with water, and I wiped it around probably for an hour. I cried all my tears on her body. I wanted my tears, my compassion, to heal her. John G. Lake's tears used to heal people. And I cried a lot of tears on that little girl until I didn't have any more tears. And I kissed her one final goodbye. 3 months later, the pastor on Messenger Facebook, Pastor Ed, we installed him as a pastor down there years ago in 1988. He was on Messenger, and he said, "Pastor Kurt, did you hear what happened to your daughter Yipsa?" I said, "No." I said, "Did you fly her body out and you have a memorial service, celebration of life?" "No, man, you never hear." I said, "No, I didn't hear." He said, "God really touched her after you leave, man. He really raised her up." I said, "What are you, what are you smoking?" "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, you didn't hear. I send you a picture." This is Yipsa 3 months later. And at the top of that page on Facebook, it says Yipsa's favorite picture photo from 2016. She's going to die. She's going to live.
Oh, Lord.
For that. I want to show you with just one other photo. On that same day, we flew out. The church had built this young man. He's on a crutch. He has a master's degree in music. He can play 12 different instruments. That's his wife of 3 months. At the time, she's an RN, works at the hospital. They're standing on concrete, as you can see. That's a concrete road. But where they live is an eighth of a mile in red clay mud with ruts in it about 2 to 3 feet deep and 2 or 3 feet wide. And it's just sloppy. And he had 2 crutches. He's on one right now. He sent this photo to us while we were in the airport in Bluefields, and we had just left him an hour before. Let me tell you what he was like. Ricardo, his legs are very short. Ricardo's mother was raped when she was 15, and she birthed him before her 16th birthday. Her mother and father said, you know, you let yourself be raped. You shamed our family. And they wanted her to abort the baby. She said, no, I can't do that. And they said, well, we're not going to raise this child. When he was born, the grandmother birthed this boy on the table, and he had no bones in his legs from his knees down. No bones from his knees down. His legs hung just straight. When we saw him, he was on crutches, and his feet never touched the ground. And he would sit on a bar stool and swing and get his body moving, then he'd jump, and his legs, his feet hung straight on rubbery, no bones, no joints. They were just like, it was weird. So Shane Stone, he's a welder, has his own business, has 20 guys working for him. He went through our supernatural school of ministry at Garden Valley Church, me and Randy, for 3 years. And he said, I want to pray for that guy, and God's going to give him legs. And I went, really? He goes, yeah. So we took him 100 pounds of beans, 100 pounds of rice, 5-gallon can of oil, cooking oil, matches, salt, and sugar, and gave it to him. And he lost his music business because he married her. The church built him a home on the mountain, but it's past the end of the road. And he can't even walk to the bus on crutches. They have to come up with four-wheel drives, pick him up to take him to church, and then drive him back to his house. So he can't walk his wife down and take her to the bus to go to the hospital and back. So we go there, we give him beans, and his arms, his elbows looked like right here. They were 3-inch round circles, 1.5 inches thick calluses, because he couldn't walk. And he said, he told us his story, and he said, when I was born, my grandparents said, don't nurse him, let God take him back. He'll be dead in 3 days. Don't you nurse him, or you'll be stuck with him the rest of your life. So on the third day, she came down, mama did, and nursed him to the fourth and fifth day. And then they didn't know it, her mom and dad, and they said, well, evidently God wouldn't have him either. He's so bad. He's so embarrassing. God wouldn't take him back to heaven, so he's your problem now. Well, she lived with mom and dad her whole life. Nobody married her. And he never had a childhood friend. And then a school moved in about a football length from his house up the hill, and he could hear the kids playing. So one day he crawled. He always crawled. He said, my grandpa wouldn't make me crutches with a forked stick. He wouldn't make a sled and pull me on a board. He wouldn't put wheels on a board and pull me on a sled. He didn't want anybody to know I existed. He hated me. So I would pull myself around. So he had scars on his thighs. His thighs were atrophied and just little tiny thighs in his jeans. He had no muscle. And he said, Pastor Kurt, he said, I could stick a knife in my leg. I'll show you. Get me a knife. I said, no. He said, I've done it lots of times. I can't feel anything. I have no nerves. Oh, wow. So we prayed for him 1 hour and 34 minutes and 27 seconds. It's on film. And all of a sudden, his arm, it's like an angel grabbed his arm and started twisting it like this. Pulled it way up, and his head went back like that. And he never could straighten his arms. They were always bent because of the calluses. He could bongo and play guitar, but he couldn't straighten up. And his arm, this arm went, and this one went out this way and just pulling by itself. And his head went back, and it was like he was in a trance. And all of a sudden, I said, my God, look, those things are dissolving. And those great big calluses went away. And he had crawled as a boy. He was 12 years of age. He crawled to a schoolyard, and the seventh graders used his head for a soccer ball. They broke his jaw, blew his eardrum out, broke his clavicle, broke 6 ribs, busted this arm up, and stomped on his legs because they were rubber. So now God and the angels are healing this boy. And so after another 40 minutes, we had to get down there. I said, guys, we got to go. And my sister took her hands off his back, and her handprint was in solid gold on his cotton shirt. She goes, brother, look at this. That's never happened to me. I said, the angels are working, man, and they're going to work while we leave. That's what they do. So we have to leave. But I said, you angels, heal him, finish him up. We're sitting in the airport. Our flight comes. 1 hour. It comes. They don't call our name. You don't get on. I said, that's our flight. See, it's on our ticket. No, they didn't call your name. Did they call your name? No, but there's only six people on a 20-seat plane. You're not going. It was hotter than Hades in that place. And my team is not having a good time. The next plane lands. They have to unload it, blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, Shane Sohn gets that picture. And in that picture, he walked down on legs. Before we left, his thighs filled out. His jeans started vibrating. You could reach in there, and it was just sloppy. He had a 32-inch waist with no nothing. He never used his legs a day in his life. They filled out. They got muscle. They were twitching. They were jumping. They were dancing. His feet went out like that, and they got joints, and they got ankle bones. There was no bumpies. There was bumpies before we left the house, but he couldn't stand up. We lifted him up. Four men lifted him up, just dead weight, and two of them had bad backs like me. I said, well, just put him back down. I said, let the angels finish it. We get down to the airport, and ding, he goes, brothers, I'm on one crutch, and I walked all the way there, and I met at the bus stop. Yes. Within 24 hours, he didn't have no crutch no more.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's pretty amazing. And we couldn't finish the job. And yeah. Then we went to Chile in 2018, and it just went all over the city. Angels went home with people and healed them on the way home. They healed them in their home, and then they came back and testified. It was, I'm telling you, if you don't have the ego that you want it to be your hands, your mouth, your heart, your anointing, your prayer, you can work with the angels. And we can send them home with people to finish the job. And to do the ones that we couldn't get to. I tell you, it's something.
This is a strange thing to be hearing of a lot of the church, because this is something so odd. So what you're doing is opening up the avenue of possibilities that many people have not heard before.
Yeah.
And, if you can take just a few minutes before I want you to release something before we go. Yeah. I believe that God's going to open up some things for those that are with us on this live broadcast, but many, many of the people that see this will see this afterwards as it's repeated again and again. But could you give us a short story of one of those, women that came to you and a child was missing, and God gave you some keys to that.
Mm-hmm. There's a woman I didn't know existed here in Roseburg. I'm a fifth generation Roseburg Douglas County boy. And I don't know everybody in the county, let alone the city, but she got my name and she got my phone number, which is kind of hard to do, but she did. Like the persistent, you know, widow banging on the door. But she called me. She goes, you don't know me, but this is my name. And she says, I have a son who's been missing now. He calls me every other day. He's been on the streets for a long time. He's a street kid. He struggles in and out with addictions, but he's a good boy, blah, blah, blah. He's 27. And he's in this city, last scene. They have him on camera, you know, cameras around stores and stuff. The police have kind of got a timeline where he just disappeared. And then so anyway, he has a twin brother, 27-year-old twin brother, who's still in, I don't know if it's Fort Lauderdale or where it is, but it's on the naval base in Florida. And so I said, well, give me something that he had. Did you find clothing? Did you find a blanket? Usually if they're on the street, they have a big, thick blanket. Yeah. I said, do you have his blanket? Yeah, the police have his blanket. He was going to check in at a men's shelter, and he never showed up for dinner, and it's never been seen since. And his cell phone dinged dinged at a cell tower at a mall, blah, blah, blah. And somebody else is using his phone. Now they know we're going to probably track him, so it's turned off. We can't find the phone and track the person who may have did something bad to the boy. So anyway, I said, well, give me the blanket. I sat with the blanket. I asked the angels. I said, he's already crossed over. Every person born in this life has one angel, but you usually have two. You have one that assists you and one that is a scribe angel and scribes down every revelation you have. And every time you have a God idea and a God thought and a perception that this is probably God, they write it down in a book of remembrance. So you have a book of remembrance, and then you have a book on every day of your life that Father preordained for you to fit you like a hand in a glove. And so those are stories for another day. But so I said, I sent one of my angels to his angel, and I asked that angel to inquire of the Lord if he could bring that boy to me, bring his spirit to me. I want to know where he's at. I want to know if somebody did him harm. I want to know who they are. I want to know their names. Well, that's what happened. Long story short, that's what happened. So I'm laying under his blanket third night from midnight to about 1:30 in the morning. And here comes his angel, and he presents the boy to me. So anyway, that same night, the boy gave me three names, two men and a woman, and then told me the name of a mountain, said there's a main highway going out of this city where I was, and it's going this direction. And on that road is a restaurant called the Copper Penny. And then he took a penny, shiny penny, and it has that badge on it, one of the new pennies. And he said, remember that, Pastor Kurt, Copper Penny. And just past that, about a mile or two, there's a road off to the right, same side of the road, and it goes all the way up, and it's always on this side of the face of the mountain, and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, there's a cabin up in there, and he showed me the cabin in the spirit. He showed me the cabin. It had one door on it, one window in the door, no other windows. It had a small kitchen, living room, and one bedroom. And while I was seeing from the outside, looking through that window, of assessing the whole thing, the measurements, I stepped it off, everything, just like I was there and I walked it. His twin brother had a vision from God, and he was on the inside of that cabin walking around. So he wrote down and sent it and drew a picture of it. I drew a picture of it and sent it to his mom, and she got his drawing of what he saw from the inside out. So you had an outside-inside picture from a twin brother and then me. And so the FBI had to go, this is something. So now they have arrested the three people. It's been about a year now. It's taken a year. And so that's what I know. And then I worked on another case of a missing girl. Same thing. And I'd never seen her, knew her mom real well. Her mom went through our supernatural school of ministry. And all of a sudden, her daughter's just absolutely gone. She had four daughters. She has three now. And she still has that one because she's always here and she's around her mom. But so we helped the police and law enforcement, and talked to the helicopter pilot that, you know, went right on site and was talking to me the whole way in and the whole way out. So, yeah, you know, we our gifts are not just to prophesy over the church and the choir and you're going to be a world changer and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we got to get beyond that. So
I want you to just release something for those that are with us today. I know you can and you will, and we already have just in the time we've been together. But I just felt my spirit as we took time to go into this revelation that God had a target for those that are listening. There's no mistakes. God doesn't make any accidents. And if we could hear some testimonies back, we would hear somebody say, hey, an angel, or I felt like I needed to tune in. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe the angels are out there, you know, working also.
Yeah. So Let me just one more quick story. I started this salsa business. I got laid off at Garden Valley Church for financial reasons, and I had started a salsa business in town, and it's really expanding and doing quite well. And so I was delivering to the Oregon Surgery Center, and I go up there and I deliver to 5 doctors, 2 surgeons, and a lot of staff and nurses. So the nurses, somebody who was there for heart reasons was checking in. There's 2 girls there. One was making some copies on the copy machine. They let me go through 3 doors. Papa Kurt gets to go through all these doors back to where the big guns are. And then they come out, the docs come out and get them from me, and they pay for them. Well, anyway, I'm sitting there, and a nurse comes out. I must have gone there 40 times, and I've never seen this nurse, not once. So I'm sitting there, and I have 2 great big things full of salsa, pints of salsa. And my angel, I have my hand like this, and my angel goes like this with his finger. He goes, just like that. So I'm resting. I've been there 20 minutes. So I'm just kind of resting like that. And he goes, so I go, yeah. I don't say it out loud. In my mind, I go, yeah. And he says, see that little nurse over there? So I turn my head. And she's making copies for the doctor of the reports that this patient got from OHSU. Okay. So she's making copies. She's all in navy blue, has the little thing, the stethoscope, you know, the gloves on, blah, blah, blah. And there's 2 girls sitting there. One's with the patient, one's on the phone, and then this girl's making copies. And my angel goes, hey, see that little girl, that little nurse? I said, yeah. And he said, isn't she something? Can you hear me? Isn't she something? I said, yeah. And he says, you know, he said, she was married for 3 years, and then her husband, you know, cheated on her and just blew the marriage up. And she's been single now 4 years, and she's been with a man for 1.5 years. And he was never married, but he was hurt in a relationship, and he hasn't been in a relationship for 5 years. And they've been in a relationship for 1.5 years. And he said, last night, he said, this young man took the conversation to the deepest level of a soul and a heart that 2 people could go to. And he bravely went there. And he said, it brought so much healing into their souls. And he said, he's a fine young man. And he said that for the first time in 1.5 years, he asked her, would you consider marrying me? And she said, yes. And he said, tell her I approve. And I think he's a gem. He's a keeper. So I went over there. These 2 girls, when the patient left, and the 2 girls know me, and I've prophesied over them, I said, hey, young lady. And one of them turned around, and she goes, hey, Papa Kurt's talking to you. She goes, huh? And I said, we've never met, have we? She says, no. I said, but you know what? I said, I was sitting over there, and I said, God told me that you had been married. I said, do you know these girls? Oh yeah, we're really good friends. I said, does that mean work friends, or have you gone to lunches and that kind of friend over at each other? Oh wait, I said, well then, can I share something with you that God shared with me in front of them? And they said, oh, he's done that for us too. You'll love him. And she goes, I guess so. I said, well, the Lord told me that you've been in a relationship for 1.5 years with a young man, and he totally approves. He said, he's a great young man. He's a real gem. He's a keeper. And he said, he was never married, but you were married 3 years and it blew up, and you've been out of a relationship for this long. And then now you've been with him for 1.5 years. And last night he took your conversation to the deepest level you've ever had with another opposite sex person, both of you. And it brought healing into your heart. And then he said, would you be open to marrying me? And she goes, oh my God, are you serious? I said, yeah. She goes, he did. We did. And they go, you did? And she goes, yes, we did. I said, well, I'm not only a salsa Papa Kurt Salsa, I said, I'm also a pastor. And I said, it'd be an honor to do your wedding if that's what you want. Are you kidding me? I said, no. She goes, how do you know this? I said, well, he just was over there and he just tapped me. But it was my angel. So anyway, that's just one of those little stories. You know, you can, that's a workplace thing. That's like, be present. Listen, be wide-eyed, bushy-tailed. And you don't have to be on and prayed up and ready for a prayer meeting. You need to be ready in the line at Safeway and Albertsons and getting your prescription. I brought healing to a lady with fourth stage cancer. She's waiting at Safeway. And they want to give her a generic. And she goes, I can't take that. It doesn't work for me. I'm in such pain. Where's my yellow pill? I've got to have my yellow. And the daughter, she's 36. The mother's like 60. And she goes, it's okay. It is not okay. I hurt so bad. She goes, this bone cancer, I can't do this generic crap. And she goes, where's my white pill? And he goes, well, I'll have to see. I can probably get some from this other, you know, they can shuttle it over from another one. And she goes, I'm so thirsty. I said, well, could I get you a Pepsi down there at the deli? What? I said, do you like Pepsi? Yeah, that's my favorite drink. Not Diet Pepsi, just Pepsi. Yeah. You want a 32-ounce one with extra ice? I always take extra ice. I said, well, that's great. I said, I'll go get, well, here, let me get you some money, young man. I said, no, it's on me. I went and got it. Then I asked God, now what do I do? So got back. And my angels are just so there. And so they sat on each side of her. And they put their hand on her. I said, may I ask you, ma'am, while you're having a sip? I said, what's your pain level right now on a 1 to 10? What is it? She goes, it's a 12. I said, so if I ask Jesus, my Jesus, to make that pain go away and it went down, would you consider that he heard me and that he loves you? And he cares about your situation. I don't think God cares about me. She starts crying. Oh, mom, now, you know. I said, well, I don't mean to upset you. Could I hold your hand? So she held that 32-ounce popping one, and I start praying, and all the pain went away. It's just like, the daughter goes, mom, what? It's all away. We can go. Well, they started to get up to leave, and the pharmacy guy says, well, they're going to bring it over here. It'll be here in about 20 minutes. Well, we'll get it tomorrow. But I thought you're in pain. She goes, not anymore. And she took a big swig of Coke and walked out. So, you know, what I'd like to do is I'd like to activate the angels that are presently with everybody watching. Yeah. And I do that by talking to them. And that's not worship. That's talking to them. Like I'm talking to you and whoever's listening. And most of the time, they're just twiddling their thumbs. We haven't given them anything to do. You know, we're not. We're just not. So if you give them permission to reveal themselves, they can touch you. They blow on my face, a gentle blow in my eyes, and my eyes will kind of fluff, you know, on your eyelashes. Now I know they want to show me something. Mm-hmm. It's either going to be manifested or they're going to show me something in my mind's eye, in my knower. All of a sudden, I know something that I didn't know before. I'm aware of something about somebody I didn't know because it didn't present itself in their mannerism, behavior, and attitudes. So they'll blow in my eyes, and that's the angel saying, hey, heads up, we're going to download something to you. Okay. They'll blow in my right ear, and I'll hear them. I hear them telepathically in my, just like I'm hearing you. They have a voice. They have a tone. They have a phonics. So, yeah, so that's some of the things they do. You'll see a flash out the corner of your eye. You'll see a rainbow color out this corner of your eye. You may see a rainbow where there shouldn't be a rainbow, a 6-inch. They're usually 6 to 12-inch rainbows on a painted wall. You'll be in your study, and all of a sudden there's a rainbow. And it's like, where's that prism? What? There's no prism. There's no sun. It's there. That's an angel. You'll be sitting there and all of a sudden you go, what is that smell? And you start looking around. What is that? Is that an incense? Is that what is that? And I've learned that when you smell cassia, which is the most, wealthy, rich, money-wise, cinnamon, but it's called cassia. It's what Jesus was anointed with. It's what the high priest was anointed with. Part of it was cassia. It's cinnamon, but it's from a particular place on the planet. It's not just any old. And it's always, when it comes, it's like, it smells like sugar cookies baking, coming out of the oven with cinnamon. It's like when you butter toast and you sprinkle cinnamon on it real quick in that first blast. It's a warm, it's warm smelling. It's not just, it's, so when cassia and clove comes, blindness, eyesight, macular degeneration, cataracts, all those disappear in eyes. Cancers of every size, shape, and dimension, if you put your hands on it and command it to go, and you're smelling cassia and clove, cancer will disappear like that. We've seen, I've got a record of 3,000 miracles just in the 3 years of our school of ministry documented. 3,000 miracles going out to different cities and churches on the streets and different, you know, it's nuts. So every angel carries their own fragrance. It's like, you know, their own anointing. But a cherubs are the apothecaries, and they can just create, they can manifest anointing oils with fragrances. They can take that fragrance out of that oil, and it never stops running, and change the fragrance in that oil just in a snap of a finger. Randy has a film of me at, we were at the Dallas Church in which one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We went there 3 times. The angels were all over the place, and fragrances and oils. And on a Sunday, we prayed for 50 addicted, drug addicted people. Pastor Craig prayed for 50 drug addicts on a Sunday morning. Well, he said, come back tonight. Well, the pastor didn't know we were going to do that. Craig just called it. They weren't going to have church. There was no worship team. We don't need a worship team. Just show up. We had a larger crowd that Sunday night. All the drug addicts brought more drug addicts. And then all the drug addicts had a lover, a significant other, not married, whether it was a woman or a guy and a girl. And they had children. And grandma came because she watches the children. It was nuts. The children came forward. My angels came down. They started touching these babies. Every child got a different anointing, and it would come bubbling up out of their hand, ran down their arm, off their elbow, and they were healing people. They'd touch these addicts that were just strung out. They would fly. It wasn't a gentle fall on this. They were flying addicts into chairs. Bam, boom, bang. And just, it was nuts. One girl walked out the week before in front of an oncoming car at 40 miles an hour, busted her leg, and she busted the cast off, was totally healed. And the babies were healing them because the angels, their angels were giving them their anointing, which is for you. So I want to just pray and ask your angel to release his fragrance so you know he's there. Some people smell leather. Some people smell an herb. Some, you know, it's like, well, is this all I get? Nothing fancy. Hey, it'll do the job. Okay. It'll always do the job. Well, this smells like, you know, basil. What? Basil? You know, go with it. Well, this smells like sage. Sage. I hate sage. You know, mom puts it in ham and I don't like it. Well, I don't like cloves, but cloves will heal eyes and cancer. So I like it. So Father, right now, I just pray for those watching and those who will watch. And I speak to their angel and angels. Angels of the Lord, you're familiar with my voice. And you're familiar with the authority and the anointing I carry from the Father. And in the name of the Father, I ask you to release and make yourself known. Release your fragrance first, then your oil somewhere on their body. Place a supernatural oil. It can be in their palm, it can be on their forehead, it can be on their cheek, a kiss. And they just have this wet spot, and it just runs and it smells. and men smell like roses and go, really, really, I have to smell feminine. Yes, you're going to have to smell feminine. I'll take it all. I'll take it all. Every sweet fragrance. I've had every sweet flower there is. And you look up what they mean. And only the kings of the East, only the kings of the East, they would crush thousands of pounds and tons of these little tiny, and then they get a little drop of fragrance, and that was only for the kings. We were priests and kings. And it doesn't smell manly. It's beautiful. But when it comes from heaven, it has a heavenly effect. I always say that what oxygen is to planet Earth, glory is to heaven. And the anointings of the angels release glory. It doesn't enhance your anointing. Your anointing has a level to it. The glory is, it has no end to it. Listen, when there's no cancer in heaven, it can't survive one nanosecond. There's no cripples. There's no blind eyes. There's no missing eyes there as there was here. Because it's glory. Mm-hmm. Glory comes from the Father. And Jesus said, the glory that you've given to me, I have given to them. That they may be one as we are one.
Hallelujah.
So, Father, just release the glory that the angels have been carrying. It's for them. It's their inheritance. It's by birthright. It's not because of their good works. It's because of the finished work of Jesus. Angels of the Lord, I activate you now. Touch them. Blow in their ear. Blow in their eyes. Yeah. Let the lights of heaven come. Let the aurora borealis of heaven come in a room where there is no outside light. In Jesus' name. Let them hear your voice. Little by little by little, reveal, manifest your form to them. Little by little by little, so it doesn't scare them. So that they can partner with you and ask you questions and learn from you. You carry a knowledge of God from the throne room that we do not possess, and it's yours to give to us. Because the throne is where we're going to be. We're going to sit with him on his throne. And the knowledge of the throne room belongs to us before we get there. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. All right.
Whoa.
Oh, okay. Boy. If you get calls, I don't know. People think I'm a wacko. I love being this kind of wacko, though.
Yeah, no.
Okay, well, we've
we got more photos and we got more stories and maybe another.
I'll have you back in a while. We'll hook up again.
Yeah, we'll do part two.
There's a purpose for this. This is seed planting for many that are going to listen to this, mm-hmm. and it's planting some desire, hunger, and an open door for them to go through. Mm-hmm. I'm a great one on portals, doors, gateways.
Yeah.
Stepping through into new realms, and that's what has opened up tonight, yeah. just in our discussion. Amen. So we'll close off tonight, and okay. Love the people that are with us and bless
yeah.
them. I'm gonna sign off here in a minute, and stay with me so I can. I want to talk to you in a minute, Kurt.
All right. Yeah.
And, so I will take you off screen and. Thank you for being with us. Thank you so yeah. much, my friend. Coming down your way, I think, in July. So we'll try to hook up.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining us. And it's been my joy to introduce you to this man of God. You have his email if you want to contact him and give him a testimony of this night or anything like that. And we will see you in the morning. We have our daily broadcast every morning, so tune in, and we have a journey. We're walking in the supernatural life of the Spirit. God bless.
Thank you for being with us today. It's such a pleasure and a blessing to us to know that we're able to speak into your life and give you something extra to chew on for a while. Be sure and contact us if you would like some prayer or teachings of any sort that we might be able to help you with. Don't forget, be sure and subscribe to our channel. And if God's nudging you to send us a financial gift, you can do that through our PayPal account. The notes are there that you can find in the notes below. God bless you, and we'll be seeing you at the next broadcast.